on both the sessions are open, and we'd like to welcome Freeman Publication Board officials and the GPW, the professor there. You are all welcome to this meeting. Today we will be getting the input from the two entities with regard to their annual reports as to what were their achievements and the failures and the where they still need to push. We will start as we usually do by introducing ourselves, because I noticed there are people that we are not familiar with. We will ask the chair to deputy chair who is leading the delegation to introduce, but before you do, we will introduce ourselves. My name is Meki Maune. I chair the Portfolio Committee on Home Affairs. And I will apologize on behalf of our members, because we have members who are not here. Some have sent in apologies, some have attended other meetings, because you are dealing with the annual report of all the departments that are ready to deal with the report. Like I said, my name is Meki Maune. On my left is Andre Gam, who is the whip of the committee, followed by Me Mpoha Sibonwe, followed by Me Nokanya Mnisi. And on my right is Mr. Eddie Matonzi, who's our committee secretary. On the left is Mr. Adam Salmon, our researcher. And we have Nandipa over there, who's also our support staff member. Without waste of time, the deputy chair, I give over to you.
Thank you, Nen. Good morning, Chair. And to all the honorable members here this morning. I'm Nancy Gilbert, I'm the Deputy Council Chair. I also want to give the apologies for Ms. Soko. She unfortunately was able to join us this morning. And then, may I then introduce the team? On my left, you should be familiar with the CEO, Melissa McCarthy. And then, I will allow the rest of the team to introduce themselves. Thank you. Thank you. My name is Kari, the new ship service.
Nick Nichols, board member from a financial background.
Liman Delandamase, manager of communications.
I'm Tiffany from PMG.
Thank you. We have the same agents from the DM's office. And without any waste of time, we will give you the deputy chair to lead the briefing.
Thank you. I'm going to ask you to take us through the briefing. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair, and good morning, honorable members. We, as a colleague, we will share the presentation a bit. I'll do one part, the COO will do one part, and the chief financial officer will deal with the financial. I think I just wanted to deal some housekeeping issues before we go to the presentation, because I'm sure members, honorable members, would have seen some news yesterday night and today about the FPB and the classification of the VA. And I think what we just want to indicate was that the issue is part of our 2013 performance. And at the moment, the award that we received yesterday from the Appeals Tribunal is still subject to a discussion by the board, the governing body of the Film and Publication Board. So if members require to ask any questions, don't be disappointed if we can't give all the answers. But just to go into the presentation itself, can I check from my colleagues? Dimantel, are you? Who's paying for us? Oh, okay. Thank you very much, Cheresin. I think that the committee knows our mandate. I'm not going to spend too much time on the mandate. It's still the same. We regulate the production of media content, the production, distribution, and possession of and creation of the media content through focusing on films, mainly those that are distributed at home from the DVD shops as well as the cinemas, the games, and certain publications. And in terms of the principles that are central to our regulation is that we protect children from early exposure to adult material and using pornography production, mainly through information and consumer outreach that we do in partnerships. By law, child pornography is punishable. We provide consumer advice on media content, hence we inform and you choose as a member of the public. We provide the designated areas for distribution for adult material, which is your adult shops where pornography is really allowed to be distributed. Those are the distribution channels that are regulated by PB. I've spoken to them earlier on. The vision and mission is the same. I'm sure we'll be coming back towards the end of the financial year, towards the end of the year, to present on the reviewed strategic plan of the FP. So I won't spend time on the vision and mission at this moment. In terms of achievements, I'm going to spend a bit of time here just to highlight a few of the achievements that we want to highlight to the committee. The detail, the COO will speak to some of the details, and I would like to request the COO to speak especially on the details regarding the core programs of the organization, which is classification and compliance monitoring. But generally, we have received an unqualified audit. Our target was really a clean audit, but we had one matter that took us away from a clean audit. But the CFO will speak in detail on the matter. We are disappointed because we're very sure to get a clean audit. We've seen lots of improvements in our systems and internal controls in the organization itself. And in the current financial year, we have a target of a clean audit, and it is our commitment to reach that target. In line with the government target of clean audit by 2014 for all state institutions. We have achieved about 90% of our overall annual plan target. The remaining 10% has to do with issues, some of the reasons that had to do with some of the vacancies. And I noted that the last time we were here in the committee, we instructed that we must not come there and speak about vacancies. But I'm just reflecting on the performance of the previous financial year, that we had a few vacancies here and there that delayed us a bit. We had a number of IT projects that we had to carry into the current financial year, which they couldn't be concluded. So those are some of the issues that have really prevented us from achieving the 100% that we expect to achieve. In terms of outreach and awareness, we have, firstly, in terms of the two aspects of outreach and awareness we report on, the first one is around the direct outreach that we do, direct engagement with communities, with young people in schools, and everybody that we engage with. We have had a success of reaching directly to at least 200,000 South Africans, directly through our partnerships, through our engagements that we do with screenings of the movies and all kinds of things that we do to talk to the people. And we have also been able to improve on our media outreach in terms of, I think we reported that we are at 50% higher than the performance in the previous financial year, and 90% of the stories that were carried by media in the previous financial year were positive stories about the Film and Publication Board. I can from my head remember only two stories that were not positive, where we were alleged by I think it's the Maverick that we're making it difficult for technology in the form of apps like Apple products because of the laws of the country. So Apple stores cannot have their stores directly in South Africa to distribute the apps, so they have to do via other countries because our laws are not user friendly for them. But we are engaging with Apple, it's an issue that we are resolving, and other apps producers like Microsoft and others in the field. So I'm sure when we report for 2013 we will find a solution to the issue. In terms of the classification guidelines, we have reviewed the classification guidelines. We have a new set of classification guidelines currently that has been approved by the Minister. Members of Parliament would recall that in terms of the legislation, we have to review them every second year. And we went on an extensive, extensive review of engaging with members of the public, doing the research. There's a few issues that have come up that required attention. I mean, I know that some new guidelines or classifiable elements that have come out that have been proposed and have emerged into the final document that has been approved by the Minister. I think there was a very strong lobby from the gender movement as well that we, in our classification guidelines, we recognize sexual violence as sexual violence and notify people about sexual violence before they watch a movie. Even the rape scene or something that has to do with sexual violence, the movie must be very clear, because if you just say there's sex and violence, it may not necessarily mean the same thing as sexual violence if it involves a rape scene or whatever, or a person. So we've had quite a useful engagement and reflections from members of the public. Currently, the guidelines have been gazetted through the government sitting web. And very soon we are going to roll out a program of making the guidelines public to members of the community and the distributors. We're already engaging with them. And in the last quarter of the financial year, which is quarter four, we will start in January 2018, we'll start the implementation of the guidelines. So we've been now with training the certifiers, with doing change management and all kinds of internal issues that we have to do. The other issue that we are reflecting on is that we have relocated from the old office, which was in housing. The committee may remember that we reported in the past about the relocation. The relocation has been completed. We are fully based in Centurion now, and we are happy that in our audit, we were extensively audited on the move. At least we were not found to be on the wrong in terms of how we got the lease and all everything that led to the move itself. In terms of recruitment and appointment of the new pool of classifiers, I think that we concluded the process in this financial year, so the pool of classifiers has been trained and they're doing their job in the manner that they're supposed to do. We believe that the turnaround strategy, which we reported as well extensively to the board about, has improved. We're still in the process of implementing the strategy, but we're seeing a lot of improvements in terms of our financial reporting, in terms of our internal systems, in terms of alignment of processes in the organization itself, especially from an operations point of view, because we've got lots of issues that require people to submit in terms of our processes. Members of the public who are distributors have to submit materials to us for classification. There's a certain process that you have to follow. Distributors have to register with the Film and Publication Board. Complaints have to be registered with the Film and Publication Board and process them. So we are trying to align all those processes according to our financial statements. The COO will speak in detail about classification function, but I've just noticed that to highlight that we have classified about 95% of films, games and publications that we have received. I think the COO will talk in detail into the numbers of those. We've had a successful partnerships with law enforcement agencies, and as you can see in the report, we've worked with them in a number of cases that involve child pornography related issues or child protection issues. In terms of the challenges, I think the biggest challenge, as committee members would know, will always be funding for the Film and Publication Board. But we decided this time around that we will bring the issue of funding when we are dealing with the strategic plan, because it's a critical issue for the implementation of the vision of the board, which is entailed in the strategic plan. So I will not bore the board now. I will not bore the honorable members now and go back to our financial challenges as an organization. But just to say that one of the challenges we are still experiencing is the limited IT capacity and the aging IT infrastructure that we have. There are interventions to improve the infrastructure here and there, but we're still quite concerned because our strategy is a very technology-driven strategy, and we need to ensure that there is alignment between the vision that is in the strategy and the actual capacity to implement the strategy. I think that when we prepared this report, there was still a pending outcome of the court case at the Constitutional Court, but I think the case has now been resolved. There is a decision that has been taken by the Constitutional Court regarding the whether pre-publication of magazines. Well, I think the main issue was around the pre-publication of magazines. So the Constitutional Court has taken a decision that says that it is no longer a requirement for magazines to do pre-publication, to do pre-classification, certain magazines, even those that contain adult content. but they are still expected to live up to the to the spirit of the act, because if they don't comply with the spirit of the act, the FPB still has to monitor their compliance and take up action if there's non-compliance. So that issue has been clarified by the Constitutional Court. And then we have a number of legislative limitations that we have identified. We have a task team that has been set up by the board that is looking at our legislation and identifying where all the gaps are. And all these decisions that we are getting from the Constitutional Court and other areas like the Appeals Tribunal, those they feedback into that process of looking at the legislation. And I'm sure at the right time we will engage with the committee and the minister on the issue and other players on the issue. For instance, one issue is the penalty regime. If you say, if there is a move that says certain sectors must fully self-regulate, which is not a problem in essence, because indeed self-regulation is crucial, but what is the penalty regime that is put in place to ensure that that self-regulation happens? In reality, the Apple people deal with about, they have about 710,700 apps. If we wanted to classify those apps, the truth is that we don't have capacity to do it. And we will have certainly to rely on a co-regulation or self-regulation model that we can agree with industry and ensure that they do the job on their own. Maybe we come as the Film and Publication Board to do the audit, etc. But the international trend is that's what happens. But then the distributor, in the form of Apple, would know that if you breach any of the provisions of the code of conduct that you have agreed to, or contract that you have agreed to, the next thing that should happen is simple. You have to still penalize, but you need a very clear penalty regime that is allowing you to do that, because self-regulation, co-regulation work very well supported with a proper penalty regime, and this is one of the gaps we have identified. The other issue we have had to deal with is vacancy rates due to the migration of the FPB from the old structure to the new structure, but I think now the situation has really stabilized, because we feel we're at about 90% of the positions into the new structure have been filled, and so we really are not having a crisis in terms of migrating people into the new structure. Ensuring that we have effective operations during the relocation indeed was an issue, but we have dealt with it. We had less than 4 hours disturbance in downtown, which was our target in terms of activity. I've spoken about the issue of new media, but I made examples about the apps. I just want to indicate again that the limited IT capacity that I spoke to earlier on also links to the last point about the limited capacity to regulate new media. As SPB, we find ourselves in a kind of a corner when it comes to capacity to regulate the new media platforms. We've got all kinds of things that are coming up. I think the latest being the VOD, video on demand, a typical broadcast like MultiChoice, which probably in our life we never thought they would be distributing videos because they are a broadcaster. Now they have a facility of distributing videos to members of the public online. You just order your video through your MultiChoice gadget and you are able to get it. So it's those kind of things that we struggle with. So hence we've been kind of looking at a really serious model of self-regulation that allows business to do its work without being interrupted in terms of, if MultiChoice needs these videos every day to upload them when people are hiring them, we shouldn't as a regulator be in the way to stop them from doing that, but we must find a model that allows them to comply with our regulations as well as deliver on what they need to deliver as the industry. So we're having lots of conversations and consultations with the industry to find a suitable solution for this kind of a challenge. I think the last slide I'm going to speak to honorable members is just to remind you, these are our strategic objectives. The first one deals with basically looking at issues that relates to ensuring that you have a sound regulatory framework that is in place that is compliant to the Constitution. The second one is about ensuring that we develop and maintain organizational capacity and capability for the organization. And I'm sure you can pick up on the challenges I've raised, that there's a few issues of capacity that you still need to look at. And some of these issues are also related to the salaries that we pay people. It is difficult to attract IT specialists with a normal government salary, especially if you're attracting the younger pool of young people, because for you to do some of the work, you really need the young quiz kids who love computers, who want to stay in computers for the whole day, and who want to work different hours. They may prefer to work at night and sleep during the day. So it's those kind of things that we see, that if we're going to be successful in this space, we need to recruit a kind of a different person to drive our internet and online regulation issues that we are dealing with. The third issue is around forming and maintaining partnerships at national and international level, as well as coordinating initiatives that support our business at FPB. And lastly, to position FPB as a viable and credible professional organization. I'm just going to ask you to highlight some of the specific issues as I outlined. There's a detailed performance information report also that is in this report, the annual report, and then the CFO will speak on the financial. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, CEO. Honorable committee members, the core problems that the CEO alluded to earlier are contained in Form 1 of the strategy of the organization. So I'm just going to further highlight. I think she's already spoken to quite a number of those. But Form 1 is mainly about content classification and regulate industry monitoring and creating awareness. In terms of the content classification, the CEO has already spoken to the fact that we've achieved 95%, more than 95% of the content that is brought to us for classification. So for us, we are quite happy with this achievement because we met our targets that we had set for ourselves. Sometimes it is not possible to achieve 100% classification because some of the things are brought on the last day of the quarter, some of the things are brought and when we are trying to classify them with the other challenges, maybe the movie, the DVD can't play or those other things. So we are quite happy with 95% achievement in that regard. That is the target that we had set for ourselves. The classification pool that the CEO spoke about as well, we have ensured that they are fully functional. We train them extensively using experts from various fields, and we've also enhanced the program that we used to train them. We have a mentorship program because there were some of them were brand new classifiers who have never classified a movie or game in their life. So we have a mentorship program for them, which was also implemented in this financial year. We also are, what we couldn't finish was the development of a manual, because we are saying the training program must be an accredited training program. So we are completing that in this current financial year. We couldn't finish it last year, but we made sure that the content that they were trained on was done by industry experts on various matters. So we are quite happy that we have capable classifiers to discharge the mandate of the filming publication board. We also wanted to recruit interns in order to ensure that we are continuously enhancing the pool of classifiers. We could not complete this in the last financial year, but we just completed that now. So the interns are actually due to start next week. We have also enhanced the administration system on content regulation. So we have developed an online system where distributors will no longer have to come to us to submit material, but they can do it on the internet and just submit directly. That system was developed last year, but we were launching it. We are implementing it in phased approaches. So at the moment, we only just launched the registration module. So if you want to register as a distributor, you don't have to come to us. You can just directly submit your documents from wherever you are on the internet, and then we can issue you with the certificate on the internet as well. In the next quarter, we'll be launching the actual submission of material and the self-regulation mechanisms that the CEO is talking about regarding classification of games, and you know, to fast-track the work of the industry to ensure that we are making industry more efficient. So these systems were developed in this financial year that we are reporting on, and they are being implemented now. We also identified a number of legislative gaps in the legislation, and as the CEO indicated, there will be in due course brought to the committee. In fact, the broad areas that we are focusing on is pornography, the distribution of pornography on the various platforms, because it is no longer just in the DVD, it is everywhere, on the internet, everywhere. So we are focusing on those areas. We are focusing on internet regulation as well, because these various platforms that have mushroomed are creating challenges for society. Children can access content any time of the day without any monitoring. So it calls for a new laws that can regulate that space and the penalties that the CEO has spoken about. The guidelines, I think she's already spoken extensively on the guidelines. In terms of the monitoring of the industry, we've managed to identify 1,406 non-compliant distributors. We had set a target of 2,000, so we achieved 70% of that. We also, in terms of visiting the distributors who are already registered to check if they are complying with the classification requirements, we also only achieved 77%. It meant we had targeted to visit 8,000. We only could visit 6,165 due to the limited capacity that we have and challenges with performance in certain areas. But we've managed to convert some of these non-compliant distributors into a new registration where they are resistant. We've managed to close them through partnerships with the South African Police Services. We've also raided some of these non-compliant distributors to ensure that illegal content is not being distributed. We achieved our target on the training of law enforcement officials on the Film Implication Act, which we found that assists us to discharge our mandate more effectively when we are working in partnership with the police, because we lack some of the required powers to fully enforce the mandate. So we always need participation of law enforcement officials. I think the CEO has also spoken to the achievement in SO2 around HR issues. We have a wellness program that is functional. We've managed to keep our staff absenteeism to below 2% for all staff, so we are really, really happy with that achievement. We're undergoing a turnaround program, so we could not fill all the vacancies, as the CEO has already spoken. In terms of the communications target, we've managed to reach directly more than 200,000 South Africans. This is direct contact. We're not talking through the media or other platforms, direct contact with these South Africans. And we have revamped our website. We are inviting you to visit it and experience the new website, which are continuously revamping as well. Lastly, committee members, we have achieved an unqualified audit opinion on our performance information.
Thank you. Good morning, honorable members. Mm-hmm. In terms of the financials for the year under review, we have received 5.4, and in terms of the regulation fees that we charge for both classification and registration fees, we have recorded 6.6 million. We have observed a drop in the registration and the classification fees throughout the year. The number of material that are submitted for classification has been declining. In terms of the expenditure for the year, we have had a total expenditure of 69 million. We have recorded a surplus of 3.9 million. So out of the we have spent all the grant for the grant that has been received, and we have also spent it in a way that there were proper concurrent processes as audited by the Auditor General. In terms of the audit report, we got an unqualified report, but it had two matters of emphasis. That mainly one was the issue of payment of examiners that were recorded in the wrong financial year. So that was more of a cut-off issues that we experienced. Another issue of non-compliance that has been recorded on them is the issue of payment to a service provider was charged as well, because the service provider was not actually registered for it. We have notified National Treasury of the regarding the service provider, and there was no any regular expenditure that has been incurred in the year, but we have the regular expenditure that has been incurred in previous financial years that we still need a continuation of, but it will reflect in the financial statements that are achieved. It has been condoned. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I don't know whether the tempo was too fast. I don't know.
speak.
Before you start, Honorable Khan, we have other members who have joined us. You're welcome, Honorable Members. We have Mayor Grace Bosman, who has just joined. Graham McIntosh. We have Ntate Manity Fraser. Finally, Ntate Masizole Marcel also have joined. You're welcome, members. It's now time for questions. You've heard the input from the FCB. They have touched on a number of pertinent issues. Honorable Gama, I noted your hands. Honorable McIntosh, Honorable DeFraser.
A few matters. The first one is, it seems that maybe we have now today, we know now today who is the treaty party, why we can't have all the apps available. In South Africa, it's apparently on the, you know, on the American app store available there. So am I correct that it's because you need to check those apps or something like that before it can be made available? So what exactly, you know, or are you not the group party in that regard? How exactly does that work? I'm not exactly how that works. So I think anyway that the approach cannot be, you know, we don't have the capacity, for example, to deal with these matters. If you don't have the capacity, then you should allow it as a point of departure and then try and catch up with that. We can't have an approach of, sorry, but we don't have the capacity to deal with this, and therefore, you know, it's also not going to be available. I think that is, in a democracy, not necessarily the right approach. Secondly, you mentioned that you want to put in place laws and so on pertaining to the matter of pornography. Now, obviously, in that case, once again, if you say that pornography is available to children and anyone at all times, then you know, the question is exactly where this kind of thing should be governed. Should it be governed by an act of parliament or something like that? Or should it be the responsibility of the parent, or whoever the case may be, the teacher, and so on, to make sure that they don't access it? So I think one must just be quite careful there. Obviously, child pornography is something quite different, but one should just be careful in terms of your approach. Third thing is, this is parliament, so it is the highest democratically elected structure in the country. So I'm afraid, I don't think you can come and tell us that we can't ask you about the findings that were made public yesterday of the appeals tribunal, which says that basically says that you were a bit over-enthusiastic in your approach towards the spear matter, and that you actually overstepped the law. As I understand it, this appeals tribunal is the higher authority here, and if they made a finding, you know, the board can discuss it if they want to, but obviously then they made a finding, and that finding stands. So I think that in this regard, maybe you should take us into your confidence and not try and avoid matter. And I think that one wouldn't like to see a situation where, because of all kinds of you know, drama, also political drama, whatever in the country, that brings a board like yours to sort of try and get an angle in terms of the act to act. We just want you to do your work in terms of the legislation. Stick to that, no matter you know, what the pressures might be, whatever the case might be, or things that you might feel pressurized. So I think one must just make that point as well, and should actually take us into your conference and discuss some of these things.
Your mic,
Honorable Gump.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. My apologies for being late. I have another PC, and I actually didn't read my notice, which came through, and I thought we were meeting in 20 plans, should it not 90. Madam Chair, I do want to congratulate the from Republic of Agnes, a very good annual report, and it's helpful for us. I think it's very nice that you get an unqualified audit, and that is helpful. On the HR side, the statistics are very impressive. But personally, I think 20 years into our democracy, we've got more than 50% of the people in our universities and tertiary education are female. So they're going to come through the system very quickly. And I'm much more interested to not know whether it's male or female or black or white or Indian, because I think South Africans are getting well educated, they're coming through. I'm much more interested to know what are their qualifications, how the IT people. How many are university graduates? And I think that is helpful because, in a sense, this publication board is quite a small element, and it needs skilled people. I also concur with some of the questions by Honorable Gaum. I must say, I was a bit shocked. In fact, I was very shocked when I saw the thing, but at the same time, in the context of an art gallery, and if one looked at what else was on display in that art gallery, in that exhibition, it was, for me, an unacceptable kind of thing, but in the context it was. And then when I saw that the CEO or the National Publications Board had suddenly started to get involved, my response was, what are they doing it all? And secondly, we all know no civil servant can do anything except in terms of an act of parliament or regulations passed in terms of an act. So my response is immediately say, why are you guys doing it? Now, Madam Chair, I think the CEO needs to just tap what led to it, but in another sense, it's water under the bridge. The tribunal has decided, I think the tribunal, I haven't read the full report, but it basically said, look, as we were saying, isiZulu, by our fault, they made a mistake to take this matter further. But, you know, they spend public money, they must have made these sorts of mistakes, and they've got regulations, they've got a law. So I think we need to be noted. Then on this question of pornography. Now, Madam Chair, I used to be in Parliament many, many years ago, and we had a form of publications board, Mr. Fondoyer, and I think it was it. And it was always being mocked and joked about. But the public do care about morals. But the difficulty with pornography is one judge once said, we all know what pornography is, but it's very difficult to define. Because when I was a student, I wouldn't go to some of these things because I said, look, my mind is dirty enough without having more filth put into it. I think pornography is a bad thing, and that's really for young people. So, it's a very difficult area, and they have my sympathies. And in the world of the internet, Madam Chair, and I think this is where we as a committee, on DTI we had a lot of evidence given to us on gambling, because it's online. I mean, the internet and the World Wide Web is just another world, Madam Chair, which you cannot control it. It's uncontrollable, and I think we've got to look at it very carefully. It's actually a much bigger issue than publication. It's an IT issue in a general sense, and it's a monster if you're trying to keep controls. Other countries with more capacity than us are in this country. So I'm sorry that my comments, those are my comments, but my real question is how come we actually ended up making such a bad mistake to get involved in this and controversy story. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable
Matthew. Thank you very much, Chair. I have a few questions. Firstly, I'll start off with the actual report. I'll just get my bearings right. On page 82, and I see this repeats in 81. It talks about office rental penalties. So we can just explain what that is about. Then on, I see that on your annexure B, right at that, sort of, I noticed page 166 and 67. This is a very naive question which I've gained from my education. And that is, I see the same film would be listed more than once, and exactly the same information on the same line. Perhaps you could explain why they would be listed twice. And then I see that in some cases, like on page 110, you have the same film with a different description. Film called 30 Minutes Less, for example, has a different type of genre. I'm a bit confused how that one film can have two genres. So maybe you could just tell me about that. And then, just with regards to being spoken about with the matter that came out of the appeals tribunal, I don't think what's been said, I agree with all of it. However, I must just extend to what Honourable McIntosh was saying, is that when I saw the actions of the Film Publication Board on this painting, it just reminded me of bad old days in apartheid, the old censorship board. It looked exactly the same. And it tarnished your image immeasurably. First of all, it heightened your... It certainly made people aware that this board even existed, but in the wrong way. And I mean, you have a lot of fixing to do in the harm that you've created yourselves. I think, unfortunately, you got yourselves into a political muddle that you shouldn't have. That's really just a comment. And then just on the presentation, thank you for the presentation. On your page, I've got page 8 here, we talk about a high vacancy rate, but yet you say that 90% of your posts are filled. Am I right to understand that? Then I don't think it's a very high vacancy rate if that's the case. So those should be explaining. And if that is the case, that 10% vacancy, 10% that is unfilled, what are we talking about? What are they? Are they critical positions? And so forth. You could just unpack that a little bit for us. Then you talk about, which I agree with, sort of self-regulation, but also because you simply don't have capacity. Have you considered looking at relationships with other similar boards in other countries, particularly countries that issue this work, specifically in the United States and possibly the UK, France, or wherever? Have you looked at creating a relationship with them that they could possibly help in the work that you're doing? So they already would have classified and done a lot of work that you would have done, and it's a matter of you just almost piggyback on it. If you could talk to us about that. It's all well and good, and I agree that you're focusing a lot on enforcement and making sure there's compliance happening, but should not also be looking at education. Instead of being the hard hand that's coming down, it's a lot easier to start to educate. As you mentioned earlier, it's very difficult to define pornography. But if there's education out there, specifically for children, that can be a protection of its own. So actually, you could talk about that. I don't see really much about that. And then on your financials, on your presentation on page 41, you talk about a number of material that your fees, the generators have come down compared to last time due to the reduced number of materials submitted for classification. Can you tell us why? Is there a trend happening? Why was there a reduced number of people not sending any of this stuff that is the case? And then, sorry Chief, indulge me. Oh, I just one last comment, and that's just to congratulations on your unqualified audits. Thank you very much.
Hello,
Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Sebastian. I think none of those guns agree on the question of the ESAC. I just need some information to say whether this act was a voluntary exercise on the part of the Film and Publications Board to pursue the Goodman Gala. If not, who exerted this undue pressure to them? And what were the reasons? And to them, how do they feel about that? They want us to intervene as a committee and parliament. Because you can imagine if this happened now, how do you prevent another party from going to them and doing the same thing? And then it does really put their integrity and impartiality into question in terms of executing their mandate. Chairperson, the next question is in terms of the board of the Film and Publications Board, I just need to understand whether or not all the members are still available in the board, and how often do they sit as the board, and also what are the challenges in that space? Because remember, normally we have the chairperson sitting here with us. So I see she's not here. I would have loved to ask this question directly to her. The next question, chairperson, is really the highlight on the staff shortages that you see as being the capacity problem. I think that is something that you need to address with speed. I would like to understand how you are aiming to achieve that. Because some of the challenges here is that in terms of your target, it comes almost all the time that some of the targets are partially achieved and some obviously are achieved. It's a very good thing that we have achieved that. But we need all the targets to be achieved, so that in the next audit, we have a very clean audit. You know, we are very, I think everybody sitting here is ambitious of the performance. We want to see this performance in every other unit of the department. But you can imagine this particular entity with a small budget and small staff component, and obviously the work that you do is quite mammoth than the staff component that you have. I'm sure, Chair, you will remember when we visited them, we were very happy to see the kind of work that they do. We even watched the movie and we even learned how to become assessors ourselves. But I think the real thing here is that we need a lot more to be done in places like Khayelitsha, Alexandra. I was in Durban this past weekend. I could see in Inanda and Nakwamashu, people are selling these DVDs on the street for 5 rand. And artists do feel that we bring nothing to save their salaries. And the standard of living has increased in South Africa. So we need to do a lot more to make them feel that we do take care about the industry. The last one, Jay, is on the findings, in particular the areas of emphasis that were reported to by the Auditor General. This other one that talks to the non-compliance with PFMA as a result of a payment which was made to a service provider was not registered for the VAT. You can imagine why would that happen. I would like to understand exactly what happened and how do you deal with this to mitigate against the reoccurrence of such. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Honourable Member. The issue of the chairperson, Honourable Marcelo, was explained at the beginning of the meeting. There was an apology, and we have a deputy chair who is here. Ms. Gifford is here. I'm not sure whether should I give we'll take another round of but I just wanted to comment on the unqualified court. You know, we had a meeting with the Auditor General regarding the issues of unqualified court. Yes, we do want, you know, unqualified court, but in future it should be unqualified clean report. We want it to move from just unqualified to clean report. In future it should be 100% that the journal should show. CEO, may respond to the question posed by another. I'm sure the team will also
thank you, ma'am. We'll start from the back moving forward. I just want to start with the question for Honourable Member on the board and our civil council lead. I'm the deputy chairperson for council, and I can assure you that the council meets on a regular basis. We have a lot of skill around the table in terms of one attorney, we've got two advocates, we've got HR specialist skills on the council, we've got a psychologist from searching the movie people as too much. We've got an IT specialist, risk and compliance, and last but not least, financial expertise. So we need to there are some challenges, I think, being a full board, having to operate on a very small budget. But I think we managed. We've been in place now for more than 2 years. The current board, there's no vacancies. Some of the areas where we are looking at in terms of challenges is definitely the research part of what we need to execute and also the legislation. So those two areas are the areas where we focus in terms of how we improve what we do in industry. How they are.
Yes, thank you, sir. So can I add to that? I just want to say that we as a board have formed committees in finance, in operations, in HR and human capital, and perhaps in other areas, I can't remember them all. However, we've also got a committee of all chairpersons of the committees. And the reason for that particular initiative is that we can look at in more detail the strategic issues for the board and come forward with proposals to the board so that the board is more efficient. Because there are a number of issues which are which need to be addressed at the moment. So I believe from a governance point of view, we've actually strengthened the organization tremendously. Thank you.
I think it's a good move by the board to do this. I don't actually know how the internal controls work. If the internal audit committee has done its work, does it report to the board or what happens? It does. It reports to the board. So it means that the reports that we get from the internal audit has biased the CEO.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to try and allocate the questions throughout my colleagues so that they get ready in time. There was a question about who's the guilty party on the earth. I don't know if the CEO would want to take that question, but my general answer would be the no guilty party. We're following the legislation that has been approved by Parliament, which requires certain things to be done in a certain manner. So we are working with the industry to look at how we deal with the issues with implementing the legislation without frustrating them and without us compromising the key principles of the legislation. So there's not necessarily a guilty party, but I think sometimes when I read the article, I thought the person wrote the article was just incorrectly briefed about the issue, and we have had to verify some of the issues in which directly the organization. But if CEO wants to take the question, can I? There's a question about the law regarding pornography. I would like the CEO also to take this question because it rests directly on the functions that she has to do. The big issue for us is protection of children to the exposure. And how do we do that? How do we use the strength of the legislation and also the strength of partnership that we can establish with the various institutions and partners involved to ensure that there is a level of protection of children using legislation but also using consumer education and outreach. The third question about the SPA, I'm going to do the last question after just dealing with these issues. Equity, I think that the kind of reporting we do HR will report according to the framework given by the Department of Labor. It's more of a compliance issue, but if members of Parliament want us to do a profiling of the kind of suit that we have in the organization, we could certainly do that. We have that information available. But what we get there is just that by information because we've been asked to report in a particular manner by the Department of Labor because they have to check equity issues, representation, and all kinds of issues. The issue around defining pornography, again, I think it links to the CEO, linked to the Constitutional Court's decision regarding print media currently. What is sexual conduct? And how do you decide that something is sexual conduct? And if it is sexual conduct, how do you go about addressing the issue? Remember, our role is to again protect exposure of children. Adults who are about 18 can do anything they want in terms of the constitutional democracy, the constitutional democracy, but children below the age of 18, they have to be protected from exposure. So our entry point will always be focusing on children, protection of children. But there were many questions, I mean, issues that were raised regarding that. Can you control pornography? I think we can answer those issues. And IT being a clear issue, I agree. The issue is bigger than the Freedom of Application Board. We have done a comprehensive submission to the committee on to the Portfolio Committee for Communications regarding the issues around our approach to digitization in the country. Because the issues around information management have to do with digitization and access to the internet, etc. We don't know how far the process is, and I think it would also be useful if the committee can also try some kind of engagement, maybe a joint committee session with the communications committee. We can present, or I don't know, but I think the committee should find a way of dealing with the portfolio committee on communications, because most of the issues that we're dealing with at FPG at an implementation level, at a policy level, they're issues of the Department of Communications. So we make our submission to policy. I think it's the Electronic Communications Act that they are reviewing currently, where we've made a submission at the Human Publication Board extensively on the issues. The office rental penalty, the CFO will have to answer that question. Same feeling listed more than once, COO will have to answer that question. 90% of post fields are just reflecting in the current financial year, that as of now we have 90% of the structure that is fit. The issue was migrating from the old structure to the new structure. So we're quite safe in relation to that. When I'm going to fill the 10%, we're in the process of filling the 10%. But it's not necessarily vacancies where there is no people. There is still people, but the people are not in the new structure. We're still involved in the process of migrating the people to the new structure. Self-regulation, okay, there was an issue about the relationship with similar boards and feedback on their classification. I think CFO can speak a lot about that, but we have an extensive relationship with boards in Africa and internationally, so we do lots of best practice and learning. The trickiest part is that the different countries focus on different, are sensitive to different things, like Germany. Germany is very sensitive to violence in movies and not sensitive at all sex in pornography in their classification. US is sensitive to both violence and sex, and quite easy on sex as well, even on violence, generally very easy. So when you import that content in South Africa, you have to know what are the cultural sensitivities and the classification guide us. My own personal assessment, and it's not official, is that our kind of sensitive on everything. It depends where you are. Sensitive on treaties, sensitive on sex, sensitive on violence, sensitive on language. So you always have to create a balancing act. That's why you can't really take a move from the US and expose people in South Africa without going through the process of classifying it, because there may be lots of other issues that you have to look at in respect to that. Focus on enforcement, service, education. We do both. We actually, I think if you look at our budget spending, we quite big on outreach and consumer education. The numbers that we're talking about, 200,000, that people have talked to directly, who we've, as part of our consumer education outreach program, etc. We can improve, I'm sure. We have to find better ways of also doing, cheaper and better ways of doing outreach, including using effectively your internet space and your online space, because you also find a lot of people in the online space. Reduced number of submissions, I think CFO can speak to that together with the CEO, with the COO. Board functionality has been answered. Capacity, staff shortages, achieving all targets, I think I attended to the question earlier. Compliance, that is selling off DVDs on the street. This is a difficult one, because it's the police who are supposed to stop selling off pirated materials in the street. We work with the police, but the problem is bigger. You go to this place in Cape Town, as usual, you call them from Cape Town. You go to Benville now to clean the street with the police to take away in an hour the material is back in the street. Oh. So it's a bigger kind of issue. Where do they get the material? How do they get the material? And et cetera. So it's a bigger issue. Where we do work with the police and get the street out of this content, but it looks like to me an exercise that's not serious anyway, because the information comes back into the street. I think that the issue around emphasis and what happened with the event, again, I'll ask the CFO to answer that job. Just coming to the honorable member of parliament, there were a number of questions to be asked. I think I'm safe to answer those questions because I'm with my board members here. Were we pressurized by anybody? No. Why did we get involved in the classification of the CA? We were implementing a law of parliament that is entrusted by to implement. Section 15 of the FPB Act, it states very clear that firstly, the definition, if you go to the definition section where they define publication, paintings are defined as publications. And being defined as a publication, it is a certain publication which is not part of the exclusions of the legislation. The exclusion of the legislation relates to those that belong into the press ombudsman. And the Good and Gallery and the pages themselves do not belong there. that so if you go to section 15, you'll see the process that we are of the act, we are required to follow in doing that. We're required to receive complaints, and once we receive the complaints, we do the clarification and follow the whole process. That we have done. There was an issue of confusion around City Press, because when media reports say we're called City Press, what City Press did when we went to the class, when we received complaints and we sent a classifier to the garage, what City Press did, they wrote to us, they through their lawyers, they wrote to us requesting to come and present to us. We never went to City Press and say you're wrong in terms of this. City Press is part of the press council. They wrote to us, they requested to come and present to us before the classification is concluded. And we discussed the matter at the office and said, no, we are in democratic country. If people want to present to us, there's no problem allowing those people to present to us. So they were never forced to come into them, but there was a confusion in how the issue was reported. So we classified, we did all the process of the SPP. Of course, our classifiers gave a decision of 16 within 16 villages. And then what happened after that was that the Galal was unhappy about the issue, and then they took it for review with the appeal tribunal, which is a structure that's set up by the minister to review decisions. I mean, if any student is unhappy about anything, they will do an appeal and it will go to the tribunal. The matter went to the tribunal had a sitting, we made our own presentations, and when we were making our own presentations, we had made a request that we would like to bring experts to lead evidence on particular issues. That were issues that were coming up, the issue of child protection in particular, because the CCN was very clear in our decision that this was linked to the issue of exposure of children in etc. But the tribunal refused that we need expect information, because I think if you read the report, the report is on the website of the Human Protection Board, they indicated that because the matter is no longer in circulation, then they will not necessarily allow the expert to come and make presentations. So on the basis of that, I mean, we force the appeal tribunal to allow us to make a presentation if they are taking a decision that says no, we can't expect everything. So they have taken a decision in terms of the award, which we received yesterday. They have taken a decision basically that saying that they are setting aside the decision of 16N because they could not establish, and I hope I'm summarizing this correctly, but the information is on the website, they could not establish the link between harm to children and the issues of culture that were raised in the report, as well as the fear as in the painting. And they would have to, as the team, in order to establish that evidence, they would have to do a number of things. One of them is actually to classify the movie, to reclassify the painting as the team. But because the painting is no longer in circulation, they do not see a necessity to reclassify the painting now. Should the painting come back into circulation and there's a complaint, then they will consider reclassifying it. But one thing that they did not find that the SPB did not have a jurisdiction on the matter. Because lots of reports that were reported, and the questions that are coming up here, are related to the issue of jurisdiction. The tribunal report, if you read it, there's nothing about the SPB not having a jurisdiction. The SPB has a jurisdiction in relation to the Act of Parliament. So if you read the actual report of the tribunal and the actual report of the classifiers, the decision of the classifiers, all this information is on our website, you would see a difference between what is reported and the information that is actually on those two reports. So I really do want to clarify the issue that SPB was not forced by anybody. We followed the process, we received complaints, we worked on the complaints that we received, and we followed the process as we understand it, as people who are entrusted with the responsibility of administering that particular legislation. I do not think we're over enthusiastic. There may be media people that are quoting and now and saying there's a finding that we're over enthusiastic. Certainly that finding is not in the award that I read yesterday, and we overstep the law. According to that award, so far, there's no finding that we overstep any law, because the law that we use is the Human Publication Law, which is the law that has been approved by Parliament. So we classify it because it is within our responsibility to do so, and we have to respond to the complaints that we're receiving as the Human Publication Board. We have even, during the process of classification, with the laws of the Good Gallery, we have even shared the information with them, because the complainant requested to be anonymous, and the legislation allows them to be anonymous. But as part of the process of engaging with the lawyers, we did share the information with the lawyers of who the complainants are, but indicated to them that they are elected to be anonymous, and therefore that information must be kept anonymous, and the legislation allows them to be anonymous. Thank you, Chair.
Sorry, Chair, can I just add to that? I just want to say, from the board perspective, at every step of the way where it was necessary, we took legal counsel, and we acted in accordance with our legal counsel's advice.
central and Mongolia.
Thank you, Chair. The issue of the Apple games,
before you continue this, please, you know, some of us are not familiar with your IT language and others. Can you explain what you mean by that? I know Honorable Gandhi is a fool there.
Okay, is an iPad. It has this game. Now this game can be, you can download it directly from the website. This is one of the apps. The 700,000 that the CEO wants to bring about. So what they have done, what Apple has done is they said all games, because the South African law require all games to be classified as a criminal classification of important distributors. They are not going to submit the 101,000 games because they have 100,000 apps of those 101,000 are in. So they are not going to submit that because they have a system that classifies their own games. That is an agenting that takes away pornography, violence, all these other things. So they are not going to submit. And South Africa is only one of two countries in the world where these are not available. They are saying because our laws require them to submit before they distribute, it would be too much for them. They wouldn't be able to do it. So they would then rather not send them to us. That is the actual issue. So the issue that the CEO was raising, that we then as the producer have to look at core regulation within that to say, can we allow them, for example, to use their own system for the South African audience and friends? Those are the issues that we're working on. And I think very soon we will be bringing a system to you because we are already working on it. We are intimate with them in this month to discuss extensively, not just them and the industry players as well. Because multi-choice have raised the same issue with their movies on the internet. They are very active to raise other issues in terms of it. Just the number. They are saying we don't have a problem bringing it, but there are too many. It will be too long to delay our processes. So tell us how else can we comply with your law without bringing the game physically to you. That's the challenge. So that's the but we are resolving it, and we hope that we will bring something to Parliament. Yes.
Impression we have of the country before active in this thing, before you know it's like the board should know or this is what is affecting you in this IG instead of dealing with the data when things are already there.
And my answer is quickly that I think it's a bit backwards that we are only one of two companies when this is to be very honest. And we, I think, speaking on behalf of everyone here to say, please sort out the problem. Please sort it out. If we must defend the law, commit the law, bring it to the master grid so that she can bring it to us, or if it has no issue, let's sort it out, really.
So in terms of this question, that links with the question around relationship with other boards. Other boards internationally have been, other regulators have been, allow them to distribute once they find other ways. So it's not to say that they have ways of regulating it. In the international conferences that we attend, as last year November, there were no way that other countries are regulating it. So we have also allowed it in South Africa. I mean, the HTC, BBM, they all have apps that are distributing them and we have left them. Apple is the only one who decided that instead of going against the law, because the others are doing it against the law, instead of going against the law, they would rather not do it. So it was Apple's choice not to do it. Others are doing BMSF, ATCSF, various people have them. So, but we are moving into that space. So the relationship with other bodies is that we are working with the global team that consists of various other countries, Germany, US, and various other countries in Europe that are working on a system to classify apps. So we are also part of that team that is working on to come up with that system, but also locally we are also exploring our own way of dealing with this issue. So we may be a little bit behind, I take that point, but we are working on a system and we enhance our research capacity to ensure that we can understand things before they creation. On the issue of pornography, I think the key thing for us that is a big issue is the law just says at the moment, if pornography exists in any other platform other than a physical store, you can't distribute pornography. But the reality is that pornography is all over the internet. So the question that the extensive review of the law is looking at, should we allow it on other platforms like that? Because it's already happening, so we'd rather regulate it maybe. Or should we stick to our law that says it must just be in a building, otherwise it can't be done? So yeah, that's what we're talking about. I mean, I think we should call the issue of Talk TV, for example, who wanted to use it on another platform, and the law at the moment will not allow it. So it is those kinds of things that we are reviewing. I think technology has moved. Can find other ways to protect children and maybe allow certain things in other platforms. But it's not just the only issue, but it's one of the issues that we are exploring. I think the decline in the number of submissions, we can only attribute it to the fact that depression has moved to the online. People are no longer finding meeting the disease is the normal. If you go to the internet, there's a forms of communication on those platforms. Hence we are seeing a decline because we've been focusing on the physical platform. So we have now moved online access. We get our online mortality to online. Part of what we are
I just wanted to add on the part of the law with the research. We also find that authorities are so very conservative. So we've done a few research in the last year, so that contributes to the sense that democracy will come together. So what the other gentleman said, the diversity. And that's where we do say it's more of my role of science through the research that we do.
To also follow up to just to remember that this is a report from the TWC, the two-year annual, that is South African Entertainment and Media Outlook. This is 2012-2016. This is quite a very useful book if you are involved in this space, because it also tells you what the trends are. And we noticed from this research that it is the trends for physical distribution in the form of DVDs and other things is going down, and this forecast will even go down further. But the trend for online distribution is anticipated that in the next 5-10 years it's going to continuously grow as the broadband, internet broadband develops further in the country. So I would really recommend to the committee, to the committee members, to get a copy of this book. If you allow chair, we could actually get the copy of just for reference of committee members and give to the committee members, because it's quite useful to understand the sector that we are operating in. And it's quite well researched. It looks at broadcasting and entertainment, your activities and other things, your internet, your publications. It's quite comprehensive. Thank you, chair.
Chair, I forgot to answer the issue of the movies page 110 and I think 156. When you see the same title appearing more than once, it will be a movie on different formats. So maybe one will be a cinema one, the other one will be a DVD, the other one will be a DVD. Yeah. The different genres, you then find, unfortunately I don't have the detail now, but why it can be a different genre is that if it's a trailer, it will only show you snippets of the so don't show the whole thing, and so it's not, you can't do it in the whole context of the movie.
Thank you. I'll answer two questions. One question to the issue of the cookies and the penalty. The return penalty was set out of the previous years that we were entered into for the own office, where because of condition, the disagreement that we want for a further 5 years, that was signed the disagreement. But on top of that, we were to get every year that we occupy the building, we get income of 100,000 a year. But as of the East and the obviously we get to pay that transition to the previous landlord. On the issue of it, this issue, it was more of, I would say, many error, because the tax clearance was very tight and it was valid, but the service provider was still in the process of understanding of them. But at the time that he voiced without the best
Honourable members, I looked at Honourable Portman and Honourable Hatsibonia. Honourable Professor, the Professor. Chair, the last time when the SPD was there, we were checking for the coming financial conflict. And I think that is still very good. We made a request that they are to stop being simplified before they are subject to court. What they get arrested, they have to go to the doctor. But Chair, can you tell you a couple of things? I only had the four of them there. I had me for a week, even have the ministry. Basically, because of the nature and the testing that is used. When it comes to financial, because most of it is nearly financial, and out of financial, you can do what you have in the hospital itself. When you get to your financial performance statement, you immediately get the next page. Let me just start at the beginning one day. Immediately after the audit committee report and the accounting authority report, the first thing you need to do is your financial decision, which is your balancing. And but you get your statement of changes in net assets 2 pages down the line, which should actually align with your balance sheet. But in between you have your financial performance. Then you get confused because you are unable to eat and hold exactly what is happening. But in your financial performance, you then have your note 15, which speaks about your general expenses. It is on page 56 that you get your note on page 84. And which is the most important aspect of the report, where you want to actually see as what has been happening throughout the year. Furthermore, you have your 3 years that you have to account on, the 2010, 2011, 2012, so that you are able to read what has been happening, whether there's an increase on certain inflation or there's a down, or going in addition on certain, which is not the case yet. Sometimes you need to understand somewhere in the middle and, I don't know, maybe the new system of accounting. But Chair, when you get to the note 15 of your general expenses, you then have, let me take an example of audit committee, internal and external audit. All those expenses are incurred around the audit itself. The gist of the next day is the audit. You have your committee, you have your internal audit, you also have your external audit with the fees that accumulate to all about 327,000. But you then get an emphasis on issues that have been fixed by the internal audit and also have been highlighted to the internal, the audit committee. By the time the external audit comes, these issues should have been reflected and been corrected. And the external audit, despite the fact that we are spending that much, it can only be picked up. Those things are now being picked up by the external audit. Which therefore says, what are the two other mechanisms that we have put in place? What are they doing? If we can then wait, it's of need to have them, if things would still be picked up by the external audit. Whilst we understand that it is good that you have both so that they protect each other, but some of the things are so obvious, the issue of the company that is paid, you have the VAT, you are there, I mean, it should have been picked up by the internal audit, and the audit committee should have dealt with that matter. By the time the audit, the external audit comes, then that matter should be reported that this is what you have done around that particular thing. You further go into your, when I had, I'm sure I was not here when you arrived, but the explanation that was given was that a lot has been done for our consumers.
on consumer education. Now we go to the general expenses. You see the anti-child pornography workshop. I think it speaks to that. Which we then reach 84. Which we then spend 103 and 4. It was 400, almost half a million.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. But you then have your travel, national, international, the fleet, the fuel, which all comes to travel, which amounts to almost 8 million. Now the roadshow compared to this traveling expense, do they talk to the education of the consumer? Or what are these traveling? Because now we can no longer have other loans to explain better what are these traveling for. But one would expect it much better. You expect that a lot of education or a lot of money that we spend on educating our consumers and businesses as opposed to flying in and out and, you know. But we know the situation. Not that we don't know. Sometimes we pay educational for, we have to know what these other countries are doing. Sometimes we'll be told, you know, you don't call us to sit down and we are situated somewhere with a national side. But you need to understand, because communities are going to ask us about this, we must be able to respond. Chair, the lease rental, and Chair, I must say, I'm not sure whether my line is correct. Is it 2.6 million? Yeah. And it went from 120,000 from 2011. It's 2.6 in 2012. Yeah, lease rental from operating. And then 2011 it was 120. Am I correct?
Yes, you are.
So maybe we need an explanation of the sum on this. But when you look at that, people talk of lease rental, you see the people in computers and all this monopolies. Okay, I'll come to that because there's a note that also explains the building issue to comes worse than what is. It is causing a total confusion. Because it's like who are they, how do we work with paying everything? But at the same time we are also entering into some town and that has to be a thing as well. The first thing it was the most difficult report I ever come across to read and phone. The staff development, recruitment and welfare was 3.5. And according to the Act, we're supposed to spend 1% of the basic on training. That is because of the skilled development to have. And one would also want to know the double sum. Because it went up but the staff component reduced in numbers. But from last year to this year, I'm unable to read the 2011 because it's not here, the 2010. You will see they have gone up 200% or 100%, I don't know. And Chair, I would therefore want to also get an explanation of the workshop releasing of 7 million, whether it's still available for distributors or consumers. Also the issue of the sale of assets. I'm not sure which assets were sold. Because the note does not clarify as to which of these assets were sold. I would like to... Oh, the last one. You can't even... I think you see the confusion on it. Page 83, the same page, the record page. Now we are taking employees' related costs.
the incarnation, but it's for that as a TV, the employee. So you also recorded that as a call. But they have deducted from their salary. So when you give us the salary component, you then whatever deductions that are done in the salary. Okay. I'm going to, once you answer, I'll be able to go and follow it. Then you have your garnishing. Your UIF is supposed to also be 1% of your basic, which in this case is a research issue. Maybe there are some research things that are not there. And I think that is such a question.
Thank you, Honourable Person. Mine is in regards to the direct outreach where the contraception comes from the dancers. We do have the medical area. And the other one is on the of the 1,469 compliers. Some were converted, how many were converted and not in second to the rest of it?
Thanks, Chair. Most of my questions I did have been covered. I just one last thing to say. I'm finding response with regard to small sphere classification interesting from the officials from the National Publications Board. It's interesting that the law is invited in that particular painting, but an example is in August this year at the Cape Town Gallery, there was a series of paintings by an artist called Nyanda Mabulu. And for example, a painting called the Shiriwang, which displays the presence in even in the worst compromising position, looking practically much worse than the sphere. At least the sphere of the president looks so regal and majestic. And nothing was said about it. So I don't buy the argument, because you can go to any gallery, in fact I was at the gallery this weekend, where you'll find nudity all over the place. You walk into the Vatican, which is supposedly the capital of Christianity, and there's more nudity than you'll ever find in any pornographic film. But the point is, I don't want to belabor the point. I think the board got themselves into a political stick, and they must realize that you're not a censorship board, you're an investigation board. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable
Gam. On that note, I just want to write the Amma. But we kind of love him as the best friend. The only thing I'm saying is just apply the law. Now, you say you apply the law. The only problem I have is, that obviously the appeal tribunal said you didn't apply the law. That is what the appeal tribunal said. I mean, I read some of the passages, but that's another point. The thing is, when one goes to things like paintings and stuff like that, then in general it does create a bit of an issue. I've never seen in my life one painting that has been that has a classification like in the 18th. I've never seen something like that. I think it is absolutely weird. Just practical terms. I mean, if I would go to the Uffizi in Firenze and see a classification there of one of those paintings, I would be absolutely astounded. I mean, and in South Africa, I've never seen that. I mean, you go to the DVD shop, you buy something, there's a classification, obviously, understood, and so on and so on. But, so I just think maybe that is then something we need to look at again. If you feel it is your duty to do that, because I just don't think that in a modern democracy that there's a place for that.
Thank you, Honourable Member. My question is the comments by the Auditor General of the Bishop on policies and procedures. And I want to read what he has said here. Management does not communicate policies and procedures to enable and support understanding. That's one other the subsistence and travel policy and the procurement policy cannot adhere to. Now, how do we do our work when we do not adhere to policy and procedures? And I note that there is a misstatement. You have it on page 90. It should further explain as to what has happened there, whether the travel expenditure that arose sometime in 2010-2011 that appears on note 27, if you could further explain what is happening there. Also, on the Auditor General's clerk, same page 49 under leadership, and he says the accounting authority did not exercise adequate oversight responsibility to ensure that management of the entity carried out the requirements of the VAT Act section are made to suppliers. Why don't we adhere or comply with the law? I'm sure you have answered it, but I'm not satisfied. I want to know why don't we comply with the law?
Thank you, Chair. In previous order, I think we know the issue of schizophrenia reporting. What we have decided to do, Honourable Member, I'm not saying an annual report that is really, because it is highly regulated how we report. This format that you are saying that is in the annual report, this annual report before we print it, we take it to AG to check compliance with everything, the financials, how we are reporting them. But what we are doing now, we are developing a user-friendly version of the annual report, which we will take as part of our, when we go to community and post on our website, which highlights certain things. But this kind of reporting that we do to you now is what we are required to do in terms of the performance information, directory, and other things that we have to deal with. But I think honourable member will also make an input where it's necessary, but where they feel that we can improve on certain things. But I can tell you that the financials we report exactly in the manner that has been approved by the AG, and they want to see them like this in the final report. I think that next issue, the CEO will have to speak about it. I think the finding that relates to not adhering to procurement, out of maybe more than 2,000 transactions that we handle as FPP, it's only one issue. It relates to this issue. And it is indeed a human error from internally that this issue passed through the different stages until the payment of the VAT was done. But the company that was doing the work, fortunately we still had money that we had not paid them for the work that they've done, and we withheld those funds because the AGM said that response is not really a useful response for them because we did pay them. So we still say that the organization have not lost money with us because we withheld money from them that cover the issue of the VAT. Once they clear the VAT, then we'll be able to release their money. And so we have not lost as an organization, but it's an error that happened, and we have tightened our systems regarding this issue. And I don't know, Chair, if you would be happy now, but this is really the honest explanation we can give on the issue. The issue of the general expenses, I think, is related to the user-friendly reporting. I think, CFO, you can report on that issue. The issue about travel, I just want to say that, I don't want to go into the figure in detail, but just to say that, remember that we have to do international benchmarking. There are international organizations that we affiliate with, like InHope, and we have certain commitments that we have to live up to, which involve flying. Like all InHope meetings are held in Europe. We have to fly twice a year, a delegation of at least two people who fly to InHope because we have requirements that we have to do in terms of our reporting. InHope is where we affiliate in terms of monitoring child pornography and related stuff. The gaming association PEGI is also in Europe. We have to fly there to go to meetings and all those kind of things. We also have to do studies in between to benchmark, which requires international travel. So it is travel in order to achieve the mandate of the organization. The national travel for consumer education, if we need to go to a rural community in the Eastern Cape or in Limpopo, we have to travel either by bus or by flight to reach that destination. So it is, again, highly linked to the job of outreach and awareness that we have to do and compliance obligations that we have as an organization. The reason why you are seeing only one item, which is around roadshows, both shows is but one aspect of the outreach consumer education that we are doing. It is not the total sum of the money that we are spending. We spend money on communication, on printing of materials and advertising and all those kind of things that we do, on partnerships and including the roadshow and other things to fulfill a mandate around them. So it's not just one issue. The fifth issue, we have combined monitors who are based in provinces. We have to travel around the province to monitor compliance and then organizational cards. They use natural organization in order to be able to do that. They also have a consumer education responsibility that part of the report of the numbers we are reporting, these compliance users are responsible to educate industry about the compliance issue as well. So I'm not going to go into the detail whether it's too much or it's too, but I just want to put in a context of why you would see a travel budget or a travel expenditure that looks high to the committee. We are service-oriented, so we require to do lots of travel in order to achieve a number of objectives that we have to deal with. The mid-vendor issue I would like the CFO to deal with it. The DPW need as well, CFO will have to deal with it. Staff development, we've been audited on this, there was no finding that you have spent less. I don't know if the CFO would comment on the issue of 1%, but I know that in terms of the commitments that you are required to make on staff development, we have achieved those commitments. The staff are trained at FPB on a continuous basis. The workshops and meetings, again, they are linked to the explanation I gave earlier. If we were to host the committee in Joburg for a workshop or whatever, that would be reported in the category of workshops and meetings. So again, there's lots of things that are manage related that we do under that function. But of course, for reporting, we have to prove it. But if you go deeper into the detail of the organization, you'll see the kind of activities that are done regarding that. Again, I don't want to comment on whether it's expensive or not, but these are the vehicles that we use to reach the mandate and to achieve the numbers that we are reporting to you. Training that we do with law enforcement officers, it's reported under this. Training that we do with the distributors and whatever is reported as part of workshops and meetings. Then no contact CFO, you never respond to the issue. Garnish, I think that there's a certain approved level where you have to garnish people. I mean, where if there's a garnish received, you can't do anything about it. If a staff member owes staff and staff want to garnish, you can't say no staff, you can't garnish the staff member. At this staff, it's theft, it's maintenance, maintenance. And I can tell you that those are maybe the three categories that people get garnished around. Owing staff money, owing staff loans with TEFSA, as well as not the child maintenance costs. And those we are required by law to process those things and to report generally to give an overview of the garnish environment of the organization itself. UIF, I think that I'm not sure about the 1% you rate, but if it is, I will not contest it, but I think that it is also related to levels. UIF is related to levels. There are certain levels where you don't pay UIF as an organization. But again, just to assure you that part of the audit look at this issue, we have passed the compliance test regarding the issues of UIF and all those kind of issues. So as a CEO, once you pass that audit test, both internal and external, I believe that that's sufficient independent assurance to make me comfortable that we are on the right track as an organization. And I think it is the same with the board, in fact. The 200,000 risk that did include rural areas, certainly, and what the board has asked us to be moving forward is to at least make a percentage of the rural areas out, rural areas we have reached out, the rural communities we have reached out, as well as the disabled communities and women. They asked us in future to categorize our reporting according to that. So in future reports, we will be providing that information to you, but most of our work is really biased in the rural areas, contrary to popular belief. I think because movies are in cities, people believe that we only focus on the cities, but we do go to a lot of rural areas. And again, I want to remind committee members about the offer we always make, that if you want to invite us to your community to do outreach, to do consumer education about the things that we deal with, we are happy to do that. These things are not associated with political parties or whatever. It's the work we deal with community members. Wherever they are, whoever they follow or believe into, our work has nothing to do with that political party, to give the content to the people themselves. Conversions, how many Mapula CEO will have to answer that question? The Kalari issue, I think there will be different interpretations on the issue, but of the awards themselves. But let me clarify the reason why Ushiniwam we did not classify, because we did not receive a complaint from members of the public. If a member of the public complains, even if that member of the party is an MP in part of that committee, we will actually process the issue. We can't jump. Our legislation is very clear. We can't jump and go to gallery, the bookshops, to look for books and paintings to classify without complaints. We only respond when there is a complaint to a publication that falls under the category of certain publications. And again, this is a law of parliament that we are implementing. We have picked up lots of learnings from the report. Both, I indicated earlier on the Constitutional Court report that has just come out, as well as the Tribunal report that has come out. And those things are coming back to feed into the legislation review, and also to help us on how we can improve our processes in general. Because I cannot sit here and tell you that our processes are watertight, there is nothing that cannot fall through the cracks. Yes, it can fall through the cracks, but as Mr. Nicholl said, on this particular issue, we took legal advice. So every step of the way, we were very clear that we were implementing our legislation. Of course, there will be different interpretations of the legislation, and the issue that people are dealing with are bigger issues than this. Everything. The issue of freedom of expression versus artistic expression versus the rights of individual, and all these issues are bigger issues than FPD. And if you read the hour, you will see that the committee does not even express opinions on those issues, because those are bigger issues that have come up in the course of dealing with this changing. But if we get a complaint, we start to deal with. Follow the same process as our application process and deal with the complaint of any other patient or any other publication that falls under that category of the publication in our name. The AG comments on policies and procedures. I think the issue of SLT, the policy on SLT, had to do with one specific issue around hotel accommodation and travel. If you have to travel, you can't take a process for the portfolio committee. I'm making an example, and I'm not saying it was the case. The flights are full. Our policy has been travel economy class, but if the flights are full, I cannot say I'm not coming to people from the committee because there's no economy class. The next thing I'm going to do is to get a seat that's available and make it to the first seat. Also, the policy says you must stay in 4-star hotels. I mean, it's categorizing, but I think in my category, I'm supposed to stay in the 4-star hotel. But in some cases, when you travel to Cape Town, Hilton Hotel is far more cheaper in the 5-star hotel than the Cardinal Hotel, which is the 4-star hotel. So it's just with those issues that the AG found out, that they go back and with the explanations that you are giving are acceptable, but go back and adjust your policy so that it accommodates these kind of instances when these things happen. And as I indicated, the issue of procurement, not adhering to procurement, as far as I can remember from our management findings, there was only one issue. It was the issue of the debt. But if there are other things, I think you can check to those issues. We have a very active internal audit functioning organization. Unfortunately, this particular transaction of the debt, my only explanation why it was not picked up by internal audit is because it happened towards the end of the financial year. The internal audit reviews on certain other things that already passed. It's a transaction, I think, that happened in the last quarter of financial year. But the one about SLT was already picked up by internal audit. And of course, we are taking to the next level of board the revised policies that the board needs to approve, to take into account some of the issues that have been raised by internal audit. But my colleagues are putting up to.
Thank you. So before the CFO speaks, I'd just like to make a few comments at what I'm going to call at board level. The first one relates to vacancies and staff development. The issue is the fact that we cannot get people from the street or straight from university who have the expertise to be able to deal in our office. And therefore we're in the situation where we have to buy in expertise continuously, and it's an expensive exercise. Sometimes it's necessary because we would never employ a staff member as a specialist because it's not a full-time job. However, the one thing that we've done is we have created a learnership in one of the areas. Okay. Perhaps we need a learnership in regulation as well. We need to carefully identify those courses which relate to us. And in fact, we could model our future on the Weather Service, who in fact has done this very well in creating weather scientists for this country. That's the first point I wanted to make. The next point I want to make is related to financial allocation and all the questions around accounting and management information. The Finance Committee, on behalf of the board, and with the wish of the board, have required the office in the last year for the first time to allocate the financial budget to the KPAs and KPIs. And what came out in our strategy session was we are spending 30% of our resource in time and money on the outreach program. Now the only question is, how much of outreach is getting the value of education, and therefore how much education must go into regulation? For example, how much must we be educating the movie owners, etc., and others who have to control which is not within our area? So the point I want to make is, we now have our budgets allocated to our KPAs and KPIs. And therefore our decisions at board level, at a strategic level, are far more educated from the point of view of both need, related to our mandate, and our financial allocation of our budget. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll respond to some of the questions. One is the issue of the structure of the government. In the past, the government has been putting the bid for this. But from the 2010, it had a financial we started putting the bid formed by the government to say that they can no longer pay for our office, because we have to pay ourselves. On the issue of the asset that we sold, after that we sold all of them, they were an asset, they were fully depreciated. Some pieces to Canada that was old and couldn't take to the new building as we were, so it was sold to staff, the asset, and some of the old equipment that were not using the life of the DVDs and some of the old DVDs. On the issue of the format of the financial statement, as already mentioned by the CEO, that the format of the financial statement is so regulated to understand that if you don't put it around, just satisfy you. Because they take that the standard dictates that the balance sheet has to come before the income statement is approved by the senior agency. And on the issue of policies, as already alluded by the CEO, we do communicate policies to staff, but one of the issues that if the wheelchair general picks up finding one policy related issue, they conclude that the policy was not workshopped enough to staff so that they can comply with the policy. Another issue is the issue of the allocation. As Mr. Nibas already mentioned, that we have allocated resources to salary victims and the profession. And that is more from the management action part. But for instance, in outreach, we have a program to say outreach. It requires, for instance, promotion of generals, it requires the gains, it requires data. But in terms of accounting and bringing that expenditure into the financial statement, you need to categorize those expenditures. I'm not sure you can have answered all the questions. And then last issue, the issue of the UIF. The UIF is calculated only just for good benefit. The one that you can calculate, the difference is almost 1,000. So UIF does not take into account the calculate the patient, so it's only solely on the basic salary. Hence, the 1%, if you want to calculate the 1% to the billing, you want to give the child the 1% within the financial.
Thank you, Dr.
Fosho. Madam
Chancellor,
you
have something to say?
Yes.
Please stand against us. We have a GPW waiting to do their presentation.
The last I'd say. The question really is relating to the financial report in terms of the number of years that the Premium Publications Board decided to report on. The normal convention in terms of financial reporting and the statutes say that it should be not just 2 years, it should be the three years that we are accustomed to in terms of the regulations and the requirements. Now, what are the reasons that led to only the 2011, 2012, without the 2010, 2011, and then you can look into all of them? Because one of the challenges here, we're asking a question, what is this high jump from 120 to more than 2 million? Now, parents, that we had, had we were
had we been previous with the previous information, then some of which was not before us, we could have been able to answer this question. Then the other chair was on this health issue. I asked whether there is any mitigating plans to try and avert this from happening in the future, even if it happens an hour before the close of the financial year, that they are able to capture that it does not happen in the manner which it did this time around. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Dr.
I'm sorry
if you want to talk to Dr. Shoko, please.
On the issue of the format of financial statements, so based on my knowledge and taking into account the new craft standards, that you have to disclose the country figures. And in the standard carbon one expression, it says you have to compare the previous reporting age of the previous financial year. So the 3-year reporting in terms of the general recognized accounting standards, does not say that we have to but I think for the sake of enhancing the presentation that comes to the committee, we can include the statement that reflects the three years rating. And then on the issue of that, the litigation factor that we have to put is that for every service provider that charges that, we go and verify that into the staff system website, and then attached to
sorry, Madam Chair, can I just finish that particular one? Without being technical, the member is actually asking for more information in the notes so that the questions can be answered before they're asked. And I think we need to move towards that. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I think that Nicholas has actually covered the minutes. But Chair, critical to this report, if I was I would say the committee must go back and give us a member and give us a more detailed report. Grab. There's too many things in accounting, the principles of accounting, whatever it is, it should not bury us to understand and to read to the content of the report. Hence, despite the fact that you just made the general expenses say, in fact, there actually be a note to explain all the things, because it's necessary for us to know the content of what general expenses are. In any case, why do you have to do that? Because there's still mistakes in that. What difference does it make? Because you still have done an age full of all those things. But it is even easier for us to follow up to, if you put it in terms of the years, then it's easy once in one age. You are able to deal with the matter once and for all and put aside and make recommendations. As of now, say we are able to even make recommendations in terms of what is in here. Because we are told about the AGM, maybe it's time that we call the AGM one. Because everybody who comes here, when we ask accounting issues, they all tell us about the AGM, as if it's someone from somewhere. Mm-hmm. The one who says, must do this, if you don't do it this way, it's going to be qualified. What is qualified? Because it's still here, in any case. If you don't put general expenses, then you get qualified, but you still have a note, you're still going to leave them. So I don't see the difference in all that. So, Chair, the reality is, with me as usual, when a report like this is dead, it must give me an implication of what is happening on the ground. Not in offices, not in the boardrooms, but on the ground. With this report, I can't say that. I can't feel the impact of FPB on the ground. And that's what my problem is. I see figures, I see cabins, I see everything that can make people to go around the world. But I can't feel what a normal person like me at home watching the TV or movie, what impact does FPD do? What the classification that is being done? I can't feel that from this particular report. And that is the commonly of FPD. And I think, Chair, we have made this clear this beginning of this financial year, we're expecting a better report the next financial year. In terms of this particular simplified and impact related on the issues that are being dealt with, which are core functions to activate.
Thank you, honorable members. I'm not going to let the department respond because I think the time is very much against us, and I'm sure the CEO has noted it, that we need simplicity. We need to know how many inspectors that we have, how many do we have, in which provinces we need, all that, you know, in simple terms, so that we understand what is going on, CEO. We would like to thank you for your presentation. We've noted that your IT is aging, and I'm sure you have provisions as well. We're going to deal with the aging IT, because we don't want to be told next time that work did not happen because we don't have IT is old, so we did not have work. I mean, we did not do our work. So I'm sure you are handling that very well. You are one of the entities that do their work professionally, but we hope you're going to improve. And we expect CFO next year, we want a clean audit report. We want a clean audit report. So you start working now together with all the members of the entity. Council should give you the support. The internal controls should be in place and ensure that we get a better audit report. Thank you very much. CEO, you said we should meet with the communication committee. If you could just respond as to why do you think we should meet with them?
I was just suggesting that there needs to be an interface, because the communication committee deals with the policy issues that we have to, or the communication committee deals with the policy issues that have an impact on us implementing what we have to do. So there is a need for that kind of interface to take place, so that the committee can also understand issues that the communication portfolio committee is dealing with, because if they are reviewing the Electronic Communications Act, certainly it has an impact in how we do our work and the treatment publication. But there are gaps that you have identified, which you have raised in the submission we made about the absence of a policy direction in the country around our approach to digitization and e-content management in the country, because we are at the receiving end of implementation, but we don't have national guidelines that are advising us how we should be doing implementation. So we have to stretch our hands, and we are not a policy institution as FP, we are implementing a different government that shouldn't be dealing with policy issues.
And there is the who is responsible for FPB? Is it the DM?
Yeah.
I think is the DM aware of your content?
Yes, we've raised the issue where we presented our time with the documents, and we've raised the issue, but we are processing it with the documents as well instead of interfacing with the Department of Communications. But Parliament, the portfolio committee members are colleagues in Parliament, and the Department of Communications Minister and Deputy Minister are colleagues in political level. So we try to address the different levels, but just ensure there is that link and interface between these people who are working in this space, so that the policy budget can close.
No, we'll see what we can do, how we can implement. Thank you very much. Film and publication, you are excused.
Thank you.
And you may leave quietly. Can we have the Professor CPW to make a presentation?